This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
Thanks so much, Valerie. Delighted to be here. And look, it's always important to kind of, I guess, highlight road safety because I don't want other people to have to be in my position. But sadly, nearly every single day now in Ireland, families are getting the call and the knock on the door that I know is just so dreadful and life-changing. Marcus was 2.5 years older than me, and he was always so protective, always looking out for me, and always very much so a father figure in my life. My parents separated when I was about 3 or 4. So Marcus very much so took over the man of the house role, even though he was only quite young. But he was very protective of both my mother and I, and was always just making sure that we were okay and that we were safe. And I think I always knew when Marcus was around that I was safe, but also that I guess he was going to make sure that I abided by the rules of the house. And as we got older, then we developed a really good friendship. And he actually went to boarding school in Garbley in Ballinasloe, so not too far from you guys. And he absolutely loved it there. So I used to really look forward to having him home on the weekends. We'd have great fun together. We'd be outside hurling. We'd be playing rugby, anything at all. But the only thing I probably at the time didn't appreciate was he used to make me study because he was he wanted to be a vet. So he obviously had to get like a lot of points. I was sitting my junior cert, and to me, I was like, sure, it's only the junior cert. And he was like, that's the wrong attitude. He was like, you need to put in the preparation now. So the leaving cert will, you know, will be a bit easier. And I was like, all right, fine. So in that sense, he was very good all-rounder, and he himself was sporty, he was active, he was clever, he was very sociable, he had so many friends, and he really kind of, I guess, touched the lives of everyone he met and everyone who knew him. So he really was a larger-than-life character, and I think that was evident on his, like, during his funeral and the thousands of people that turned up from all over, not even just Ireland. Like, he'd friends over in the UK, and we'd family that flew from America, and, you know, so many people made an effort to be there just for him. And I think that's just kind of epitomizes the type of person that Marcus was. And even to this day, like, it's 20 years later, but people still talk about Marcus. Like, you know, everyone remembers him, everyone remembers the stories. Even my little cousins, who actually were only born since he's passed away, they all talk about him like they knew him. And I think that's just, again, a testament to the kind of person he was. He made and left a lasting impact on us all.
It's amazing and a privilege as well to be able to talk about Marcus's entire life and who he was as a person, because I know often in these cases when we're highlighting things around road safety and things like that, we naturally are going to focus on the tragedies that have occurred, but the people that are behind them, it's so important to unveil that as well, because he was clearly your whole world, and your whole world, you know, to your family as well and to friends. And it's a privilege to learn about him. But when he did pass away so suddenly, what is that like for you as a person? What was that experience like, and how has it shaped you as you've gotten older as well?
Yeah, like, I remember that evening so well. It was a Friday. We both just finished I just finished my junior cert mock exams that day, and Marcus had finished his leaving cert mocks the Wednesday before. So he'd been home for those few days, and we were both really excited to finish exams. We planned, I was going over to meet my friends, he was going out in Galway City with his friends, because he just turned 18, so he had his own ID, so he could go to the clubs. And he actually had a friend who had a car, and he used to drive them on nights out, so he was always a designated driver. So that was the plan. He'd collect him that evening. But before that, he had rugby training in Gort, and I myself was in pony club. So my pony club was based between Ardrahan and Gort, and my father was actually our coach. So he collected me that evening, and we drove up with the horse, and we were just getting ready to go on the horse. And I remember sitting in the corner of the sand arena because we were taking turns show jumping, and I was beside my friend, and I kind of looked around, and I remember seeing an ambulance, and I thought, gosh, that's kind of unusual, you know, Friday evening. And I could see the ambulance heading from, we'll say, Galway towards Gort. And then I don't know how, but where Pony Club was, we were kind of on a hill, and I spotted another ambulance coming from the Loch Ray Road in towards Gort. And I thought, oh, unusual, two ambulances on a Friday. Their blue lights were on, but their sirens weren't. And they weren't travelling at a huge pace or anything, but I just didn't really think much of it. I actually thought, oh, they must be bringing someone maybe back to a nursing home or dropping someone home, which I don't even know if an ambulance does that. But I think I was only 15, so that's the thought process I had. Like, little did I know. And then my father dropped me home after the lesson, and I went in, and my mother said, something's wrong. And I said, what are you on about? And she said, Marcus said he'd be home by 9. And it was literally 9:05. I was like, ma'am, it's 9:05. It's not that big of a deal. And she's like, no, something's wrong. And I think that a lot of mothers have said that to her since. We've also lost children, and you know, you hear about a lot, but mothers always say that they have this gut instinct that they know, kind of, they almost know before something happens. And eventually, after a while of calling around, we figured out that there actually was an accident, and it was Marcus and his friend, and his friend was the driver that night. And what happened was they were traveling home from rugby training, and there was an accident on the road after Gort, not far from Coole Park. And we got told that Marcus was on his way into the hospital, so we followed him in, and you know, we were hours in there that night, and like, a lot of neighbors and friends came in around us, because I remember one stage looking around A&E. If people are familiar with it in Galway, they'll know the layout. And I was like, God, there's an awful lot of people we know in here on a Friday night. It's a bit strange, isn't it? I was like, why is everyone in A&E? Like, again, little did I know, probably the naivety of being 15 years old, that they were all there for Marcus. And the hours went on, and it was actually during the night that we got told and brought away to a private room to be told that Marcus didn't survive his injuries. And I remember from that moment kind of thinking, this is surreal, and again, this isn't happening. And I think at the time, ER was a really popular program, and my mother and I used to watch it every Sunday night after we dropped Marcus back to Gairbally and we got home. And you know, I think I was so used to watching a made-up program about A&E that I was so, I guess, like, I watch it and people always survived no matter what happened to them. So I think I had that, I thought that as a, oh, Marcus will survive, like he won't die, he'll survive. And I guess I thought I was kind of immune to it. And then but look, tragedy happened, and that was real life, and unfortunately it wasn't a TV show, and that was it, Marcus was gone.
I didn't know Marcus, but I'm very sure that he'd be very proud of you now for you using your voice to highlight road safety, though, off the back of that and everything that you've learned. And of course, there are still a lot of people dying on our roads. That is a fact. 77 people have died on our roads so far this year. What do you think is the most crucial thing that needs to be done to reduce those numbers?
Well, I think realistically, I think the RSA needs to start publishing facts and findings from these road traffic collisions, like what kind of cars are they driving? What sort of litre engines are they driving? Are they on their phones? It's very easy to tell if someone's been on their phone. And like, we see it every single day. I spot it all the time. And I think it's because of what happened to Marcus that I'm hyper vigilant when I'm on the road. I can see people looking on their phones, using the interface, not paying attention. Speeding, of course, is a huge one. Like, what speed were they traveling at when the collision happened? Were there, like, was there alcohol in their system? Were they drink driving? Was there other substances in their system? We need to get these facts published, because we need to know what exactly is happening. Like, all we do here at the end of the year is that, and I know, and I hate saying it, and I know young people hate hearing it, because I've spoken in schools myself and they've told me they hate always being tarnished with the same brush. But statistically, it is young male drivers. So need to figure out, what are they driving? What's going on? What was the weather like at the time? Like, why are they not paying attention? Why are they so distracted? It's just like, I really actually think it's since lockdown that people have kind of, I don't know, is it people have like lost respect for road rules, or just don't care anymore? And you can see it day in, day out. And I noticed it myself, because as I mentioned, I'm really paying attention on the road all the time, because I know what's happened to my brother and it can be avoided. And again, people just don't seem to care anymore. And I always say to people, the message I give is, look around you, like, what, you know, you don't know who's coming against you. You don't know who's going to pull out in front of you. You don't know who's going to suddenly like jam on the brakes. So you always have to be aware of everyone else around you. And I just think we have to start paying attention again. And you know, again, I don't like blaming the younger generation, but again, statistically, they are the higher ones when it comes to road traffic collisions and road traffic deaths. And I think, you know, we need to get the message across about slowing down and about the consequences of maybe losing someone on the road, or perhaps if you're the driver and you might be the responsible for your friends and we're in the car beside you getting killed. And as well, I think another huge, I guess something I can't get my head around is, when I started driving 17 years ago, I didn't have to get lessons, but my mother made me get lessons. But that's all changed now. So I know everyone of a certain age group, and especially those who are statistically involved more in accidents, like, they had to get 12 lessons to get on the road. So they are actually getting properly trained. So where is it happening? Where is the shift happening where they're suddenly not paying attention and they're involved in these collisions? Like, they know the rules of the road better than probably even I do. Like, I'd say I probably need an upgrade at this stage. But you know, they're the people who are kind of coming on the road with the fresh rules of the road. Like, the rules have probably changed even since I started driving. So why are they involved in so many accidents? And I just think we all talk about education, and you know, schools can only do so much, but I think the education begins at home. I think parents and guardians have a responsibility to put the onus on young people getting out every day, remind them every day that they walk out the door to be careful and, you know, what could happen and what could lie ahead of them. Like my own mother, even though I got lessons, she still drove with me for weeks and weeks before she eventually let me drive first on my own. And for that summer after I first started driving, I could only drive to the next parish and back. And it was a long time before she let me drive that little bit further. So I think parents and guardians need to start taking that responsibility as well. And drilling at home all the time about road safety and how they need to take care, put the phone away and just pay attention.
I understand on a personal level what you mean about hypervigilance because my dad's in the emergency services. So I have always, I've grown up with that, being very aware of collisions that are happening on our roads in particular. And I suppose that's always been very drilled into me to be very, very careful. On a separate note then, rallying in Ireland has become very, very popular, understandably so in a lot of ways. I really do get it, the Donegal Rally then, a lot of people looking forward to that this weekend. If there is people listening this evening though, what would you like to tell especially young people to keep in mind about road safety?
I know, especially when rallies happen, because I remember I started going to the Galway rallies when I was probably like 15 or 16, and I used to get really excited seeing all the cars. And, you know, it's a chance for everyone to show off what they have and the money they put into their cars. And I know some people have put thousands into their cars. And
yeah.
I understand, and I understand how much they appreciate and love the sport and love their own cars. And I know they probably want to take care of them as well. But all I'd say is, like, don't be trying to show off that your car is faster than someone else's. Don't take chances. And as well, I think when there's events on, you know, there might be opportunities to go socializing and go to the pub afterwards. But, you know, you have to have a designated driver in place. And if you can't find one, then someone's going to have to put up their hand and say, look, I'll do the driving tonight. Perhaps you'll drive tomorrow night. You can't take the chances. And as well, the likes of the Donegal Rally, there'll obviously be extra people around. There'll probably be people coming from all over Ireland as well that want to bring their cars and see cars and show off cars. So just, you know, you want to be at next year's rally as well. Think of that. Enjoy this rally, but you want to be able to come back to next year's rally, and you don't want to become a statistic. As we mentioned there, like my brother Marcus, he is a real person, but I guess when it comes to the facts and figures, Marcus is a number. And you and your family, and I think if you're a parent listening, you don't want your son or daughter to be a statistic this time next year. And look, Donegal as well, the statistics up there, they're pretty harrowing, and I know so many people in Donegal have been affected. They have the same story that I have. They're living with it every single day. So look, just a split second is all it takes for something to happen. So put the phone down, pay attention, and really try and enjoy it for what it is.
Megan, I really appreciate everything you said there. And before I let you go, can I just ask, what advice would you give to someone that may be listening this evening who may have recently lost someone close to them or a loved one in a crash? What would you tell them?
Oh, I'm sure, listen to me now, it's brought back a lot of pain for people. And like for me, every single time I click on to like an internet site, into the news, or listen to the radio or put on the TV, and when I hear that someone else has been lost in our country, and sadly it's been an awful lot in 20 years since we lost Marcus, and you know, I feel that horrible empty feeling, and that kind of, you almost feel the breaking of the heart again, because I know exactly what that person's going through. And my advice for anyone, because I think I've had to go through it now the last few years, is you just have to be patient with yourself, and you just have to give yourself, sometimes you might just need a day off from it, because there's sometimes I still wake up and I'm like not ready to face the day yet, and I just give myself that extra bit of time in the morning. Don't put yourself under pressure. I think you kind of sometimes feel like you have to be going places and doing things. If you don't feel like doing it, if you need to take a bit of a step back, do that for yourself. It is hard and it is very difficult. Some days are worse than others. And sometimes it's okay to take a little bit of a break. But also, if you're finding it too much, and at times I found it too much, please ask for help, because there's so many professionals out there. I have been in and out of therapy for so many years, and I just think it's hugely important to sometimes just talk to a stranger and to like get it off your chest. So don't be afraid to reach out to someone. There's therapy now online that you can do, that you don't even have to leave the comfort of your own home. So I would reach out to people and get the help and get a good support network around you, and understand that at the moment it might feel difficult, because, you know, sometimes your friends mightn't understand what you're going through, and you might think that they're maybe ignoring you, or maybe they're not being as supportive. But you have to remember as well that not everyone knows what you're going through. So just look, patience, give yourself time. And I promise you, I honestly promise with hand and heart, that it actually does get easier over time.
Megan, thank you so much for all of your honest words there. I really appreciate it. And it was a privilege to learn about Marcus as well. I know you said there, you know, victims of the of these collisions can often be turned into a statistic, and it's so important. And I personally really feel it's very important to address the lives that these people lived. And you can see how loved he was. And it's just amazing to have learned about him. So thank you so much for joining us on The Hub. Freelance journalist Megan Scully there.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.